Okay, guten Morgen, wie geht's auch? Ich heiße Steve Fox. Ich bin Direktor des Azure Modern App Center of Excellence bei Microsoft. Tut mir leid, heute spricht in Englisch. Meine Deutsch ist nicht gut genug für 45 Minuten. Und ich bin Jetlag. My colleague Michael Eprecht, he'll speak German for you. We're going to have half of it in English, and when Michael comes up, he's going to give you the demos in German, okay? Because I think, in fairness, we're in Germany, we should at least speak some German here. So thank you very much for your time. It's an honor to be here in Dusseldorf to speak to you. Just to set expectations, we have two keynotes, as the gentleman before me were talking about. We're going to explore the modern business app here, and then the second one, we'll talk a bit about .NET. Let me see here, just a bit about my team. Think about my team as a cloud and mobile practice from within Microsoft. So we do a lot of emerging technologies in and around cloud devices and web, and we work very much with a lot of enterprises. So it's a very fun job. But in essence, what I wanted to do today was talk about roughly three things. I first wanted to talk a bit about where Microsoft is going. I call it Microsoft version 3. Hopefully good things come in threes, right? We'll then talk a bit about devices and services, and then I'll kind of jump in and we'll walk through modern apps, and we'll do some demos for you to kind of keep it a little more lively. So if we think about where Microsoft is going in the future, there's some core principles we can think about. If I can just walk around here. The first one is the fact that always on, always connected is kind of a major principle we think about in this next era. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's not just about having your smartphone and checking your email, but it's about machines connected. It's about always having data flowing through a system of some sort. It's about having devices that are always connected in some way, shape, or form. And in that sense, it not only has the need for a device, whether it's your smartphone, whether it's your tablet or phablet, whether it's your PC, but also has some need for underlying services that serve up to those devices. If we think about what's next, the fact is we are used to multiple devices with one experience. For example, if you get on the train, you expect your document or your movie or whatever your experience is to pick up where you left off. So the fact is, even though you may have all of these things going on in the background, you should have one portal of entry, irrespective of device. Okay, again, it comes down to smartphone, tablet, services sitting beneath. The other thing is, it's not about just the enterprise. It's about you, the individual, you, the consumer. In fact, when I think about consumers, I think about a heck of a lot of innovation that comes from the consumer space that comes into the enterprise. And so Microsoft, as we look forward, is about empowering both the individual and the business and kind of tapping into both those markets. But enterprise, I know there's a lot of enterprise people here, whether you're customers or partners, it's very important to look at the platform, this Microsoft platform all up, and think about it as extending to your needs. So if you want to become this enterprise that taps into some of these third-party services, how do you do that? If you want to bring Microsoft's platform forward and begin to reformulate your strategy, how do you do that? And these sorts of things. So that's, again, another really important principle. And finally, it's not just about business. We want you to have fun. We encourage you to have fun. How many of you have kids that are playing Xbox? Too much Xbox. All right? So it's not just about the business of going to work, sitting at your PC or with your smartphone or on a plane. It's about also having fun as well. Okay? Now, that's fine. Those are the core principles. If we kind of jump into devices, what are we doing here with regard to devices? And there's two areas we can break this down into. The first one is first party. So these are the things that Microsoft is manufacturing, right? And you can see here the Surface and you can see Xbox. So we have a small stake here in hardware business. The other one, though, are our hardware partners. How are we taking the software that we're building and getting onto these other hardware platforms? And you can see there's a number of different third party devices here. And again, if you think about these devices, though, what powers these devices as we move forward in this world where we're always connected, we're always doing things, we're always needing some sort of fuel for these devices? And it's the services, right? Now, there's these things called high-value activities. What does that mean? When we think about the different types of services that could fuel these devices, we have a range of different activities. You could use Bing. For example, I used Bing last night when I was learning to translate English to German. It was very, very handy. Office, obviously, there's a great sort of experience there from a business perspective. Skype, major way in which you can communicate with family. When I'm on the road, and I'm on the road quite a bit, I talk with my wife quite a bit through Skype. And likewise, Xbox. So the point is, you have this kind of layer of hardware, and you have a number of services that are sitting beneath. Now, the interesting thing, as I was talking with a couple of the guys yesterday about the idea of anti-fragile. Has anybody read the book here called Anti-Fragile? Has anybody heard of it? No, interesting. So anti-fragile is the philosophy that we are entering into an IT phase where instead of having the 60 or the two-year cycle of developing software, it's coming down to 30 days. And the philosophy behind it is you need to really begin to break the build. It's not about driving status quo. It's not about trying to preserve the build. It's about breaking it. It's about failing fast. So in essence, what's happening is we have philosophical changes in the way in which we're designing software and releasing software that is actually happening in the market. And that book is very interesting because it gets at that whole philosophy that the way in which we think about software is radically changing. And so services becomes this point of deployment. In fact, I think the difficult thing moving forward will be, how do we manage services? With all these third-party services that we're building into the enterprise, how do we manage that? And so it's interesting kind of trend-wise to think about that. Now, this week or the next few days, they're about you, right? It's about you learning. It's about you kind of figuring out, where is .NET going? What's the roadmap? What's the tooling? How can you help me in my job? Because I want a career advancement. I want a raise. I want my boss to pat me on the back. So what about you? And so it's interesting, as I talked to some of you yesterday, some of the feedback that I got was as follows. First of all, hey, what's the future of .NET? Help me understand where Microsoft is taking .NET. And I think in the second keynote, you'll begin to get a little bit of where is this roadmap? The second thing, some of you are embracing mobile. In fact, I had a great discussion on the embedded mobile system last night, which was great to hear, get some feedback. But the point is, again, in this world where smartphones really at this point have only achieved probably 30% of what they could achieve, it's amazing to see the changes that are going to happen here. So if you haven't embraced mobile, it's very important you think about it as either consumer base, but even more important, enterprise. Because the enterprise, if you think about it, 3.2 devices per person in the enterprise today. 3.2. That means everybody here is walking around with 2 to 3 devices in their bag or their pocket, right? And we're evolving to a place where, will we have one device? Probably not. But the point is, this is still evolving, this market. Very, very important to think about. Cloud journey. I know this is a little touchy subject in Europe with this whole Snowden affair, right? But the point is, there's some really good workloads when we talk to customers all around the world where you can move workloads into the cloud. Again, we were talking over dinner last night, and we talked a lot about security. We talked about marketing campaigns. We talked about phones and how you could have services that power the phone that's perfectly fine to have in the cloud. The point is, there's a cloud journey to be had. So if you hadn't started thinking about the cloud, it's interesting to kind of get that in your portfolio, your view. And finally, what about Windows? I mean, you heard the guys talk a little bit about Windows 8.1. You got your start button back. How exciting is that? Not really? Not excited about the start button? Fine. I'll take that as feedback. But the point is, Windows is evolving to a place that's very interesting, right? To serve the tablet, to serve the PC, to cater to this whole new devices and services world. Okay? So again, if we think about where we're going as a company, Microsoft, there's a few key principles. If we think about devices and services, I think it's fairly clear to think about first party and third party and the services that are actually powering these up. The interesting thing is, again, the paradigm shift behind services that make you think about software development in a different way. Very important. All right, and then finally, about you. Where are you at? So at this point, I wanted to talk a bit about modern apps. And here's what we'll do. We'll kind of bounce back and forth between me talking And then my colleague, Michael, kind of jumping up on stage to walk through some demos. So if we think about modern apps, and it can mean many different things, but to me, very simply, I'm a simple person. I like to simplify things, okay, just to understand it. The world is complex enough. This is what modern apps mean to me. The combination, the integration of Windows, web, and cloud, okay? Now, you'll see as we roll through our demos, what does that mean? You'll see that we have this new kind of Windows 8.1 we're rolling out. We'll have this new platform, the web platform, those different things that we have. I don't want to confuse or kind of separate HTML5 from .NET. I think it's important to bring them together because they are evolving together. And of course, we'll talk a bit about cloud. But it's important to, if there's one thing I could just leave you with today, it would be that when we think about this idea of the modern business apps, it brings the best of these three worlds together. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that to have a modern app, you have to have all three of these. It's not a checklist, all right? But the point is, think about these things, and when you have these modern apps, it brings the technology that sits behind these innovations together. Okay? Make sense? Okay. So if we think about the web platform, let's start here because this is an interesting place to start. Let me just build that out. So first of all, again, from an ASP.NET perspective, I've lived a long time inside the web platform. My background is development. I've got a few scars from being a SharePoint developer. But a lot of what I've done is ASP.NET. The thing that excites me the most about ASP.NET and where we're going with the .NET platform is, again, some of the integration pieces that sit below it, right? Now, it's not that Microsoft is trying to pull all these things together, but what we're saying is, look, we want to become a better citizen of the web. What does that mean? It means that we have our .NET platform that we're evolving. You will see innovation in Web API and EDF and other places within, you know, the .NET platform in and around ASP.NET and other places. But also it's important to realize that we're bringing other parts of the web stack into the ASP.NET story. Really important to think about jQuery. Many of you guys out there are probably looking at jQuery libraries and using those in your day-to-day development. Some of you may be using HTML5 as a client stack. And of course, there's all these different types of identity and authorization that you can use as well. So with that, what I wanted to do, Mike, do you want to kind of get yourself up on stage? I want us to welcome Mike. Let's give him a round of applause. And Mike's going to walk you through a demo. You might want to switch the screens.
Yeah. Guten Morgen. Jetzt kommt den Schweizer. Ich bin aus der Schweiz, ich arbeite im Steve sein Team und ich mache heute ein paar Demos. Wenn man Visual Studio 2013 anschaut, man hat jetzt viele Möglichkeiten. Man hat gehört, ja, Visual Studio 2012 hat schon Update 3 bekommen. Man hat all diese zusätzlichen Add-ins bekommen. Und all diese Add-ins, die man hier im 2012 als Add-in eingebaut hat, ist jetzt schon im Visual Studio 2013 eingebaut. Perfekter Beispiel. Ich mache hier ein neues Webprojekt, File New Project. Die haben schon alle mal das selber gemacht oder gesehen. Und ich kann eine schöne Web-App machen. Entschuldigung. Jetzt, wenn ich eine Web-Applikation baue oder einen Web-API-Service bauen, ich muss immer daran denken, was baue ich hier? Warum baue ich das? Und wenn man den alten 2012 anschaut, man sieht all diese Projekte. Aber wenn ich jetzt in 2013 reingehe und ich mache File, wie man sieht, ich habe Schwarzmodus, ich möchte auch Farbe haben, hat man hier im Web einfach ein ASP.NET Web Application. Und wenn ich dort draufklicke, dann kommt ein Wizard. Und jetzt wähle ich aus, welches Projekt ich möchte machen. Entweder Web API oder MVC. Und das, wenn man das dort sieht, man sieht, MVC ist immer noch dabei, MVC ist .NET. Ja, das könnte sein, dass es ein bisschen JavaScript oder JS oder HTML5 dabei hat. Aber das Idee ist, man braucht weiter die gleichen Skills, als, dass ich als .NET-Entwickler schon habe und ich verwende die weiten. Natürlich haben wir auch das verbessert mit dem Authentication. Das macht es einfacher. Jetzt, wenn ich authentifizieren möchte, ich will nicht alle Websites öffentlich zugänglich machen. Ich kann jetzt entweder No Authentication, ja, jeder kann auf die Webseite, Individual User Accounts, diese User Accounts in die SQL-Datenbank, oder jetzt die Organizational Accounts, so wenn den Kund oder ich als Firma schon Office 365 einsetzen, ich habe schon den ganzen Plumbing, ich muss nur ein bisschen konfigurieren, ich muss meine onmicrosoft.com Account hier eingeben und dann wird den Plumbing und den Code generiert, dass ich direkt Federated Security von Office 365 einsetzen kann. Vorher bei 2012 musste ich ein Add-in einfügen und dann viel per Hand bauen. Das Gleiche geht für Windows Authentication. Ich kann das direkt hier einbauen. So Security ist ein Teil vom Wizard und ich muss jetzt darüber denken. Ich will nicht nachträglich Security implementieren. So ja, ich kann relativ schnell ein schönes MVC-Projekt bauen und ein schönes MVC-Projekt bedeutet auch, dass es ein modern MVC-Projekt ist. Ich habe schon hier das MVC-Projekt und wenn man das anschaut, man hört von dieser Single-Page-Applications, diese Single-Page-Web-Applications. Was bedeutet das? Das bedeutet, ich habe ein normales ASP.NET MVC-Projekt mit Controllers, mit Areas, mit Models und mit Views und gleichzeitig setzt das die verschiedenen Scripting-Umgebungen ein, wie Bootstrap. Wer hier setzt Bootstrap schon ein? Ja, ein paar. Die, wo das gut kennen, wissen, dass es eigentlich Open Source von Twitter kommt. Das ist Open Source Code und wir setzen das ein als Teil vom Projekt. Modernizer auch dabei, all diese Libraries sind schon dort. Ich muss die nicht jetzt selber schreiben und debuggen. So, wenn ich so eine Applikation baue, ich zeige Ihnen schnell die fertige Applikation, das ist den Default File New ASP.NET Website. Jetzt, wenn ich das als Mobile-Applikation möchte einsetzen, das bedeutet, ich muss jetzt ein neues Projekt machen, m.domainname.de einsetzen, eigentlich nicht. Mit 2013, das ist richtig ein schönes, responsive, adaptable User Interface. So, wenn ich mit einem Handy auf diese Webseite komme, bekomme ich nur ein anderes View und der passt sich selber ganz schön an. Und wenn ich ein Phablet habe, dann passt es sich selber an und das ist ohne eine einzige Codeänderung zu machen. Das ist schon für mich generiert. Absolut ganz einfach, das ist eigentlich, was ich möchte haben. Ich könnte auch eine mehr komplizierte Applikation, wo ich Data Sources brauche, wo ich Daten speichern und das ist das Gleiche. Ich mit ein paar CSS-Files und was Visual Studio mich baut, mit Model View, diese ganze MVC-Geschichte, kann ich das gerade weiter verwenden. Dort ist mein Person Controller. Mein Person Controller wird durch den View durch den Person View eingesetzt und dann habe ich auch ein Entity Data Model für die Daten. Und wie sieht so eine Applikation aus? Ganz einfach. Das ist der Result von diesem Projekt. Steve hat die ein bisschen umgebaut, ein paar CSS-Files eingebaut, ein paar rausgenommen und innerhalb ein paar Stunden habe ich eine ganz schöne Applikation. Wie man das sieht, das sieht wirklich ein bisschen wie die Microsoft-Webseite aus. Und das Gleiche, wenn ich es verkleinert, dann passt das sich selber an. Das ist theoretisch den Mobile, den Handy, den iPhone, den Windows Phone, den Android Phone View davon. Und alles ist, man hat noch immer noch die ganze Funktionalität. Alles, was ich auf die Vor-Webseite habe, habe ich jetzt auch dort. So, ich baue das einmal und ich setze das mehrmals ein auf verschiedenen Plattformen. Ich muss jetzt nicht immer über den End-Device denken. Natürlich, etwas wie Daten, Data Entry, das ist auch ganz einfach zum Implementieren. Ich kann einfach das ist eine einfache Form, Daten speichern und ohne, dass ich viel Code geschrieben haben oder ohne Code, wegen dem Entity Data Framework, habe ich jetzt einen Ort zum Daten einzuspeichern. Ganz einfach. Ich muss jetzt mehr auf meine Data Sources kümmern und weniger auf, wie ich das implementieren auf die Webseite.
Thank you.
Bitte. Hast du das auch verstanden oder muss ich langsamer reden?
So I think the really important thing to emphasize here, as I said, it's not just about ASP.NET, right? We're evolving that platform. If you think about MVC, if you're starting to use the Model View Controller just as one facet of the .NET platform, you've got other things that are built in. Now, I used to build MVC for apps, and then I'd try and combine Bootstrap. It was a pain. It was difficult, right? You had to take, you know, a day or two to kind of combine all this stuff. So the fact that we're building some of this in is just making it easier for you, okay? So that's the point there. So thank you very much, Michael. So if we think about kind of the next part of that integration of, you know, Windows Web and Cloud being Windows, this is also a very important part of our future, right? Now, we've got lots of, you know, things we could talk about Windows, but I think some of the key differentiators are really important to point out. You know, Michael's going to walk you through a nice development scenario, because I know a lot of you are developers in this room. But also, if we think about, you know, the fact that you have this user experience, what are we trying to drive with this user experience? We're trying to drive an experience that both can be consumer-centric as well as business-centric, irrespective of whether you're using a phablet or a tablet or a phone, if you're thinking about Windows Phone 8, or in the context of business, whether you're using a PC. Now, the important thing is enterprise-grade security. When we think about BitLocker, when we think about Active Directory, all of these working together to provide a really strong security story for you in the enterprise. And I know for a lot of you who are lob developers, this is very, very important. Having that data locked, having access to those applications locked down, very important. And so as we move forward, also, you know, if you're on the go, mobility is very important. In fact, we put together an offering recently where there was three experiences, right? Because we wanted to embrace this web, Windows, and cloud thing. And it was all about insurance brokers and the fact that if you are an insurance seller sitting down and trying to sell an insurance product, you can't take your smartphone and say, would you like to buy life insurance? And walk someone through the choices. You need to have a tablet experience that kind of walks you through, gives you options. So the point is, you're going to have certain experiences that require a tablet or a smartphone, of course. We can cater to those. The BYOD thing is really, really important. I was going to finish off this segment of the keynote series to talk a bit about BYOD, but this is the biggest concern when I talk with C-level people, CIOs in organizations, is the biggest concern. Because what does this mean? It means that you all, with your 3.2 devices, are going into work and saying, hey, IT management, we need you to make sure these are all working. But guess what happens? You've got different management protocols, you've got different techniques, software that manage those remote devices, and you have knowledge in your head, intellectual property, that could leak. So this BYOD story is very, very important. Okay? But with that, again, Mike, if you want to walk them through a demo that you have, that would be great.
Gut, wenn man den Modern App anschaut, etwas wie Windows 8, man denkt immer, oh, ich baue jetzt eine Windows 8-Applikation und jetzt muss das im Public Store sein und das ist nicht geeignet für Line-of-Business-Applikationen, weil ich muss das jetzt in Store publishen und ich muss all meine Daten ins Cloud bringen und. Aber wenn man das anschaut, man hat immer noch die Möglichkeiten, die gleichen Möglichkeiten, wie man jetzt hat mit normalen WinForm-Applikationen oder ASP.NET-Applikationen, um auf Daten zuzugreifen, das bei mir im Firmennetz ist, im Intranet, vielleicht als Service im Extranet oder im Internet. So, wenn ich ein neues Projekt schnell baue, mit Visual Studio 2013 eine neue Store-Applikation, vielleicht eine Grid-Applikation. Jetzt muss ich einen Entscheid treffen, von wo kommen meine Daten. Wir bauen alle nicht eine ganz einfache Katze ab, wo eine Katze ab, Katzenrasse zeigt und dann jetzt habe ich ganz schnell eine Applikation published und vielleicht verdiene ich ein paar Euro im Public Store. Aber für wirklich Line-of-Business-Applikationen, wenn man das anschaut, ja, die Entwickler, wo Silverlight entwickelt haben, mit Silverlight entwickelt, den Zap, den XAML, das ist weiter hier, das ist den Frontend, das ist den Presentation Layer für Windows 8 und den Business Layer oder den Data Crunching Teil ist immer noch .NET. So, das ist nicht, dass jetzt wir sagen, alles muss HTML5, JavaScript, JS sein. Man kann wirklich die existierenden Skills weiter einsetzen, auch für Windows 8 Applikationen. Oft will ich Daten speichern oder ich möchte Daten von einem Source holen. Wie mache ich das? Jetzt kann ich ein Web-API publizieren, vielleicht im Intranet, und dann holt diese Applikation das und ich cache die entweder lokal auf ein SQLite-Database oder in ein XML-File. Jetzt, ich kann auch Cloud-Services für Windows 8-Applikationen einsetzen. Aber wenn ich das richtig mache, verlassen die Daten meine Firma jetzt gar nicht oder Deutschland gar nicht. So, in eine Windows 8-Applikation kann ich auch gleichzeitig etwas wie Push-Notifications implementieren. Und ein Push-Notification, ich als Entwickler vom Backend schicke zum Push-Notification-Service, hey, bitte sag all meine Applikationen, dass Daten dort sind, dass Daten verfügbar sind und bitte hol die ab. Jetzt in diesem Push-Notification muss ich nicht die Daten mitliefern. Vielleicht schicke ich einen Code, der sagt, ich hol Datensatz Y vom Webservice, wo on-premise ist oder im Internet. Und durch das muss ich nicht meine Daten im Cloud stellen, nur weil ich eine Windows 8-Applikation habe. Ich habe so etwas Ähnliches gebaut. Wenn ich hier den Add Push Notification, dann geht das durch den Wizard, wie ich das mit einem Windows Azure Mobile Service verbinde. Und dann setze ich den Push Notification von Windows Azure ein. In diesem Fall, diese Applikation, der holt ein von einem JSON Webservice eine ganz einfache JSON Datensatz. Das könnte auch ein WCF Datensatz sein. Und mit dieser Applikation hole ich jetzt meine Daten. Ich habe den Wizard gemacht, wie man das hier sieht. Baut er automatisch für Mobile Services den Push Register ein. Die Applikation startet das erste Mal. Der registriert sich selber mit dem Push Notification Service und ab dem, das ist wie ein Subscriber. Und mit diesem Subscriber-Modell wird diese Applikation dann benachrichtigt, wenn ihr einen Push schicken und sagen, all meine 40.000 Applikationen, bitte hol die noch aktuellsten Daten oder meine 5 Applikationen. So, ganz einfach. Und wenn ich eine einfache Web-API-Implementation machen und dann in ein Grid-View einfügen und hier sind meine Daten. Das sind etwa 15 Zeilen Code und implementiert. Den Push-Notification muss ich eigentlich nichts machen. Den Wizard hat all den Code geschrieben, aber natürlich kann ich ihn auch modifizieren. Und jetzt kann ich ganz schöne Applikationen ganz schnell bauen, und das macht nichts, ob die Daten im Cloud sind, im Extranet oder im Intranet. So Line-of-Business-Applikationen ganz schnell implementieren geht. Und das bedeutet nicht, dass ich das alles auf dem Internet muss haben. Weil gestern Abend habe ich das immer gehört. Windows 8-Applikation bedeutet, ich muss all meine Daten ins Internet stellen. Gar nicht. Man will das gar nicht. Natürlich, das bedeutet, vielleicht baue ich heute als Entwickler eine ganz schöne Windows 8-Applikation, dass morgen du vielleicht die Außendienst auch eingesetzt möchte werden und vielleicht möchte ich einen Teil von dieser Applikation auch im Store publizieren, dass meine Kunden diese Applikation auch einsetzen können. Ich kann einmal die Applikation schreiben von 3 verschiedenen Data Sources, die Daten holen und ich muss jetzt nicht 3 verschiedene Applikationen bauen. Natürlich kann ich, wenn ich das möchte, aber ich muss nicht. Aber das ist wirklich wirklich das ganze Prinzip, wo ich vorher gelernt habe, als .NET-Entwickler, Data Models, Services, alles ist 100% das Gleiche. Ich muss eigentlich nichts weiter darüber denken.
All right, sehr gut. Thank you very much. So, now the last one here is an interesting one. In fact, let me go back here because I saw him in the front row. Where are you over here? We had discussions last night. What's your first name? You. Yes. Jürgen? So Jürgen and I had some discussions last night about the cloud. It was very heated. He wanted to take me outside and beat me up. But it was a great conversation, and thank you, because I appreciate the feedback. We had a great conversation around Windows Embedded in cloud. And I think cloud is an interesting discussion because depending on where you are in the world, you have a different level of discussion. Okay, so if I'm in the US and I'm talking to a private sector corporation, my level of discussion around the cloud is going to be different. If I'm talking to a marketing agency and they're like, we want just to push a website up and run some analytics against it, it's a different level of conversation. If I come to Germany, if I come to Switzerland and talk about the cloud, radically different conversation. Okay, now it's a very interesting thing. But the Cloud OS, this kind of outlines Microsoft's story. And there's four pieces to it. And this in and of itself would probably require quite a bit of time to go through. But the point is, if we think about simplifying this again into two things, I would say there's infrastructure and there's apps. Very simply, deconstruct the cloud into those two things, and it's much easier to digest and think about. From the infrastructure perspective, it could be that, you know, I've got these workloads on premises today. I want to take those workloads and I want to manage them and host them in some way, shape, or form in a public data center. And again, my approach in our practice is not to go out and tell our customers, move all your stuff to the cloud. That's the last thing I would ever do. What we do is we work with our customers to say, look, evaluate and understand your data, understand your documents, understand that core IP, and any regulations that you have to respect before you think about moving things into a place where you might find yourself going, ooh, my customer doesn't like that there. So we work with a lot of customers to evaluate that. But the point is, you could take an infrastructure perspective and host virtual machines, or you could take an app perspective and build apps. And that really fits in nice, because what Mike was showing you before with the web API, that's a natural segue. You know, when you think about WCF, a lot of you probably wrote SOAP services and WCF. You know, I actually was in that world. I am really glad that I'm now evolving towards Web API, because in some sense, they're a little easier to manage and deploy. WCF was a little tricky to kind of debug with XML. But the point is, it's a better story there from a services perspective. And from an apps perspective, that lives in a place which can be hosted in the cloud. And again, it's respect the workload. That's the approach that we take. And of course, security is top of mind there. But at the end of the day, these are four kind of pivots if we think about Microsoft's Cloud OS story, right? So transforming the data center. So being able to move assets that you have on premises into a cloud environment. Thinking about modern apps. I mean, we're showing you examples of modern apps as we go throughout today. You know, the Windows or the web. These are all more modern techniques. And so really, as you look at transforming your skills from where you are today to where you'll be tomorrow, these aren't radical shifts in terms of skills. You're still implementing C# or some equivalent in .NET. You may be using different patterns. You know, you may be kind of architecting in a slightly different way, but the point is you're kind of evolving your skills. Unlocking insights. This is an interesting one because when we go and talk to banks and insurance agencies, they want high-performance computing workloads to run on the cloud. So they stuff a bunch of actuarial data up there, it spins up, and they pull it back down and view it in Excel. So it's actually using the cloud as a workhorse. So you don't have to provision and buy those servers, manage those servers in your own environment. And lastly, empowering people-centric IT. This is a really important one, because again, it gets back to the BYOD story. If you have 3.2 devices, people coming in with Windows Phone 8 or BlackBerry or iOS or Android, how do you manage that? How do you manage that story? It's a difficult one to manage for an IT-managed department. And so the tools that Microsoft provides allow you to manage some of that in a seamless and continuous way, consistent way. So that said, I think that's a good segue for you to do your last demo here, Mike.
Gut, Windows Azure. Das ist ein Windows Azure Portal und wahrscheinlich, wie Sie schon gehört haben, gibt's Infrastructure as a Service. Ich kann eine virtuelle Maschine im Cloud bauen oder meine virtuelle Maschine, das ich schon bei mir im Datacenter habe, ins Cloud hochladen und dort konfigurieren und dann gerade einsetzen. Und dann denken Sie gerade, oh, jetzt muss ich meine Daten da ins Cloud schieben und so weiter und so weiter. Aber das gibt eigentlich viel Möglichkeiten. Wenn man eine neue VM möchte bauen, vom Gallery. Und jetzt kommt eine relativ lange Liste. Und für das wird es eigentlich für die Entwickler gerade interessant. Wie oft müssen ihr einen SQL-Server auf einen Windows-Server installieren und dann für Testing oder für Applikationen Upgrades ausführen und dann muss man alles installieren und dann next. Und dann habe ich gerade 5 Stunden verbraten, bis ich diese Umgebung parat haben. Oder wenn ich das von IT verlange, dann sagen die, ja, das dauert jetzt 4-5 Tage, bis ihr das bekommen. Dev-Test auf Windows Azure ist ein ganz gutes Szenario, ohne dass ich meine Daten ins Cloud hochladen muss. Oft im Dev-Test-Environment brauchen wir fiktive Daten oder anonymisierte Daten, so das ist noch weniger das Problem. Wenn ich sage, ich möchte jetzt anstatt dass ich Windows SQL Server 2014 herunterladen und installieren, kann ich sagen, okay, ich möchte den SQL Server 2014 ausprobieren, ich möchte schnell eine Maschine haben, mit das vorinstalliert, ich möchte mit ein paar Cores haben, das ist mein Windows Admin-Passwort, ich gebe es einen Benutzer und ich gebe es ein Passwort und klick Next. Und wo möchte ich es haben? Northern Europe oder Western Europe? Und Ding. Und jetzt in etwa 8 Minuten steht ein Windows-Server mit SQL Server 2014 schon vorinstalliert. Das bedeutet, ich kann über Self-Service ganz schnell etwas austesten. Wenn ein Kunde sagt, ich habe SQL Server 2012 mit Service Pack 3 und Hotfix 3, ich kann sagen, baue mir ein SQL Server 2012 mit Service Pack 1, ich installiere dann später den Cumulative Update und dann kann ich diese Szenarien, wo den Kunde als Bug rapportiert, schnell wieder testen und anstatt, dass ich mehrere Umgebungen habe, kann ich das schnell im Cloud machen. Wie wahrscheinlich gesehen haben, gibt es relativ viele virtuelle Maschinen hier. Ich habe den Windows Server, den SQL Server, ein vorinstallierter BizTalk, ein Visual Studio vorinstalliert, so ich kann im Cloud entwickeln. Visual Studio schon installiert, ich muss das nicht lokal auf meine Maschinen, wenn das im Cloud ist, ich schalte diese Maschine ab, wenn ich nach Hause gehe, ich komme wieder ins Büro, Büro sagt, okay, jetzt starte ich wieder meine Maschine und jetzt arbeite ich weiter. Ich kann dann auch vom Zug arbeiten, ich kann von überall arbeiten. So, perfektes Beispiel. Man hat Oracle, man hat Linux. Schon dort, man kann es gerade installieren. So, den Infrastructure as a Service Teil, dort kann ich als Entwickler eine Umgebung ganz schnell bauen. Aber noch ein ganz schnelles Ding, Websites. Websites sind nicht nur Content-Management-Systeme, aber ich kann mein Web-API auch dort hosten. Und wenn ich eine Basis-Website baue, kann ich ein kostenloses Modell fahren, als Modell, wo ich ein bisschen bezahlen muss, oder ich kann dann dediziert die Resources haben. Und dann kann ich das hoch und runter skalieren, wie ich möchte. Und wir könnten das für euch auch automatisch hoch und runter skalieren, basiert auf den Last, auf die Regeln, die ihr setzt. So, Websites, Azure, Application Platform, das hoch und runter skaliert, das ich on demand einsetzen kann und wenn ich das wirklich möchte, kann ich eine Website mit 4 Cores und 10 Instanzen hochfahren und das steht in etwa 3 Minuten und jetzt habe ich 40 CPUs als eine Website zur Verfügung. Das ist so stark. Ich muss dann nicht zuerst denken, wie lange dauert das, bis ich eine Umgebung habe, was passiert, wenn meine Applikation ganz gut ist und eine erfolgreiche Store-Applikation ist.
Thank you, Mike. Yep. All right, so there's multiple examples that we have out there of Azure in play, but I think what Mike showed you, you know, the Devon test and, you know, the fact that you can build websites, I mean, these feel like fairly safe areas where if you wanted to get started, they're good places to get started. This is Sochi, leverages Azure, and again, we have lots and lots of different examples. He looks very comfortable, doesn't he? So what to think about? This is my Zen frog. After keynotes, I try and feel like this, kick back. But I think there's a lot of things to think about. You know, we walked you through Windows, web, and cloud. And really, as we think about these three things coming together, they really do represent this idea of the modern app. And I think from a developer standpoint, you know, coming from somewhere I am a developer, and even though I do a little more business stuff now, I think the interesting thing is there's advancements in .NET that should be exciting you. They shouldn't be scaring you, they should be exciting you. Right? You can choose not to use jQuery, you can choose to use it. You can choose to use MVVM or you can continue using Windows Forms. Probably the place to be is kind of evolving, right? So think about your skills evolving. Now that said, part of my job is watching out for trends that are strategic in nature, that changed kind of where we're thinking about and where we're going. As I mentioned before, you know, obviously it's a interesting environment if you listen to Gartner. They're telling CIOs that the enterprise is changing radically and kind of going towards third-party services, et cetera, et cetera. But they're also saying these two things, which are very important, right? So cloud development up 8% in the last 2 years. Mobile development 32%. I mean, these are really significant increases, right? Think about this, and then think about what you're doing. Are you doing any of this? Are you thinking about any of this? If you are, great. If you're not, then just know there is a world that's moving alongside or around you, okay? Other thing that's interesting is there's certain areas in IT that will be underserved, okay? How many of you have heard of big data? Big data, right? This is one of the areas that there's some concern about because really the skills lie in data scientists, but at the end of the day, we have a lot of analysts out there who are doing some of this work. But if you think about that being a fairly significant growth area, that's going to be underserved, okay, as we move forward. And there'll be other areas as we move forward as well, but that's definitely a big one that keeps coming up. And the last thing here I have is anytime I talk with CIOs, three things come up. And it's important as developers to understand this, because this impacts the way in which you think about your job, the types of things that you're doing, how you plan your future, and so on and so forth. And so security, BYOD, and cloud are the three things that always come up. It doesn't matter where I am in the world. The flavor of the conversation is different, as I said. If I meet with a German CIO, it's going to be a different level of hostility towards certain things than when I go and meet, let's say, with a US or even a Chinese CIO. But these three things are coming up all the time. So you should think about this, just at a high level in the context of how this will affect me as an IT person, whether you're a developer or an IT pro. These are important trends to think about. I realize this is Man United and not the National German Football Club, so I apologize, but this is a great saying, and I wanted to close on this, Sir Alex Ferguson. It kind of gives me chills when I think about it, but I always felt I couldn't afford not to change. The point is, don't stand still. We're in an industry that's always changing. Change is the constant. We know that. That's what we got into this. For the young folks in the crowd, you know that you've come into the industry at a very interesting time. You know, for the older folks, you've seen a lot of change already. And it's amazing. So just, you know, just kind of take this to heart. We're all on this journey together. We're kind of driving this change together. As the guys were talking about, we want to make sure we get your feedback. It's bi-directional. Tell us, you screwed up here, Microsoft, right? Or where we're doing well. This is the conversation we have to have, but be prepared because we're at this really interesting intersection in the IT kind of history. And so I think with that, I want to leave it and hand it off. This is what my team does, so if you're interested in reaching out, feel free. Other than that, I'll let the gentlemen here kind of take over and introduce themselves. But from my part of the segment, thank you very much and enjoy the journey with us, okay? Thanks very much.